Let's pray that in the middle of what are often really hectic lives, Lord, we're just here for you now. For whatever you want to say to us. For whatever way you want to bless us. As I look round, I sense the Spirit of Jesus just touching different people, just in the quietness, just blessing people. I just pray for more of that blessing. Just pray for more of that blessing. Shiakara kia shiakara kia shakesh. Kiakara kia shiakara kia shakesh. Just bless you, Lord. Just bless you. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that before we have to dash back at the end of this service or whenever we have to go, that you would complete the ways in which you want to bless us. And we ask this, Lord Jesus, for your holy name's sake. Amen. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming, and thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us in worship. I'm always very aware that when the Spirit seems to just say pause for a moment, just hold for a moment while I just move around, I'm thinking, now, Lord Jesus, you've also given me a sermon. So we need just some, some coordination between you and the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I'm sure that that's all right. They don't contradict each other, so it's great to see you here. May I read to you a few verses from James chapter 4? James chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. James writing to all these churches who are in contact and in communion with the Christian church in Jerusalem writes this: what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? When I first read these verses, I thought it was the most depressing passage I'd read for quite a long time. Everything was negative. I felt as though I was being got at with almost every phrase. I just thought, Lord Jesus, how can you say this to me when you're supposed to be gently encouraging me? Everyone who comes on a Wednesday and a Thursday, I said, has quite enough pressures and quite enough hassles without feeling you're going on and on and on at them about how awful we all are. What are you saying to us through these verses? What can you possibly say that will really encourage us and prepare us to go back to work from these few verses? I thought it was probably just a bit encouraging that James was writing this to all the churches that were all the Christian churches that existed at that time in the Middle East. So there are obviously a whole lot of places where there were hassles and difficulties and people weren't acting in the way that good Christians should. I thought, well, that is a relief, because when I feel that I've really let him down, I know that I'm part of a long and distinguished history of sinners and of people who've really messed things up. I haven't done half the things, I didn't think, that he was going on about here. So really, considering there are a whole lot of people doing all those things 2,000 years ago, there can't be too much that's bad about me. Well, not too much anyway. But the more I read it, and the more I prayed and reflected and wrestled with it, the more I realized that rather than leaving me feeling hopeless and rather got at, rather than leaving me more aware of how I've let him down than I do at the moment, James is calling us to a fresh experience of a relationship with Jesus, a fresh experience of a relationship with him that sets the tone and the agenda for our lives. James clearly feels that if we're absolutely at one with the Lord, things will automatically begin to get sorted out. He says two things, I think, to us through this passage which are important. First is in the second part of verse 2 and the whole of verse 3. He says, be honest when you pray. It's so easy for prayer not to be an honest admission of the different ambitions and hopes and fears that we all have. He said, the problem is, says James, you're trying to be polite and to pray properly, whereas what Jesus wants is for us to be totally honest. He knows about our mixed motives. He knows about our unworthy ambitions. He knows about the things that aren't sorted. And he's just saying, why pretend? Let's just be totally honest, and then we can move forward together with him. I thought, well, that is encouraging. That gives me permission to talk about the things that actually I find awkward or embarrassing or shameful, but that really matter to me. He says, first of all, he says, be honest when you pray. And secondly, in verses 4 and 5, he's saying, or Jesus is saying through him, remember how totally committed I am to you. He uses words, James does here, that for his contemporaries would have rung bells. Adulterous people, for example. Jealously longing is another one. The first century Jew would have picked up the echoes from Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea, let alone some of the earlier books in the Bible. They'd have remembered those and thought, oh yes, that's what he's saying. He is totally and utterly committed to us. And if we just look at the echoes that are found in Hosea, for example, we see the qualities of the Lord Jesus that he's wanting to display to us. He wants to show us patience. He wants to give us the space to work things through. He wants to bring forgiveness and display commitment. He wants us to show us that he's ready to take the initiative. It isn't all down to us. When we feel we can't or we won't or whatever, he's saying, all right, I'm here. I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to make this work. Whatever it is, I'm going to make it work. Jesus is saying, I want you to remember how totally committed I am to you. That actually I'm not someone who gives up on you. Sometimes you need space, I'll give you the space. Be honest when you pray to me, he says. Remember how committed I am to you. It's all right, James saying this. And we know, of course, it's the scripture, so that's all right. But how can we be sure? And of course, all the references to friendship with God take us back to that moment over supper on the night before Jesus died, when he said to his closest friends, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. And I do so because from now on you're going to hear God. And because you hear him, you'll have all the encouragement, all the resources, all the guidance, all the engagement that you need. These verses looked so depressing when I first read them. For the more I reflected on them, the more liberating they became. Let's be honest, Jesus says. And don't think it's all down to you, because I'm totally committed to you. And you will be resourced as you realize afresh that we're friends. And part of the deal is that you'll hear God, each of you, speaking to you personally.